Good evening. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland. This is bbsradio.com. We are the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. In a few minutes, I'll give you two different phone numbers so that you can call in during this uninterrupted hour. My guest this evening is Michelle Avante, back with me. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I hope everybody out there is doing fine, too.
Are you cold where you are?
No. It's a little chilly if you're outside, but not terribly cold, no.
We're cold here in Texas. Can you believe it? Central Texas, and we're cold outside.
Oh, my gosh.
Michelle and I are going to be talking about why don't miracles work for everyone. So those of you out there that have that question on your heart or on your mind, if you've ever thought about miracles and what they mean to you, tonight's your night to ask an expert. Now, we're talking about miracles not just in a religious sense this evening. We're talking about miracles that are in a much broader category. So think outside the box tonight when you think about the word miracle and give us a call. And those numbers are, if you live in Canada or the United States, your number is going to be 1-888-228-4494. 1-888-228-4494. Any place else in the world, your phone number to call in is 877-489-6350. Do call in. Questions, comments, get involved with the conversation, that sort of thing. We'd love to have you. Michelle is, her list of what she can do is just wonderful. Author, journalist, metaphysician, articles, columns, featured stories, been in magazines and newspapers since 1985, lots in radio shows, I'm sure more than you can think of right now, more than you could remember.
Definitely.
So, and I found her because of a wonderful book that she wrote, Greehee, The Journey of Five. You're working on more for us, I understand.
Yes, I am.
So I'm excited about all of that, and we're going to have her keep coming back because the list of what she can talk to us about is just phenomenal. So she's become a fixture here about every 3 months or so, which is fine with me. But how did we get into miracles? How did you get into looking at miracles and what they mean to people?
You know, I think what happens in life is so many people that I've talked to over my lifetime, clients and as well as friends, they will recount an experience that is a phenomena to them, and we call it a miracle. And I think it's fascinating that when a person has a definite need, spirit will always come through for them. We may call it a miracle, but I think it's really the higher self is always working in your behalf, and when you are open to receive, those things manifest. So, you know, when I think of a lifetime of different stories, of people's stories, I always find it fascinating, not to mention my own, how things happen in life where you can be in a predicament where you're sure you're not going to get out, maybe not get out alive, and suddenly something happens and you're fine.
The door opens like a wreck of a girlfriend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
She'd been kicking that door, she said, what seemed like forever, and it would not budge. Her water was coming into the car. She couldn't get out of it, and all of a sudden, this is a power-locked door, and all of a sudden, it opened, like somebody had opened it for her.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing. They're amazing. I mean, the stories are amazing. Years ago, I had a friend who had been trying to get pregnant, and she kept... Every time she'd get pregnant, she would miscarry, and she was very down on herself about it, but there was nothing she could do, and she got pregnant, and it was really exciting. Everybody was excited for her, but the way we found out she was pregnant is the amazing story. She was always a very active individual. She used to run a lot, and when she wasn't working, she was either hiking or out running. This one day, she was on her way home, turning the corner to the block she lived on, and she got hit by a huge vehicle.
Mm.
And she was completely pinned into that vehicle of hers. The fire department had to come out and cut her out of the car, and they didn't think they were going to find her all in one piece. She was broken up in a lot of ways, and she had to go to, you know, she was in the hospital. And when she was in the hospital, they found out she was pregnant. And her experience during that pregnancy was, because she had to heal from this accident, she wasn't able to even climb the stairs, and in the first few weeks, she couldn't even feed herself. So she was forced to stay put in order to heal. She was that way for 3 full months. And she managed to carry that child and give birth very successfully. I think it's Spirit's way of creating a situation that does a lot of things all in one moment, one instant, that could change your life forever. To me, that was a miracle. She had no expectations that she was pregnant. She desired to be pregnant, but probably her lifestyle was keeping her from being able to carry to full term.
Just being almost too active.
Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening was Spirit put this accident in her path, and Lord knows what other karmic experience came through that. But as a result, she was able to have the great gift that she wanted.
Do you think we get a certain number of miracles in our lifetime?
I don't think anything is limited in Spirit's view. I think you can get as many as you're open to receive.
I think what you just said is so important, open to receive. I think human beings work on ego-based fear and guilt and that sort of thing, and we block our good.
I absolutely agree with that. When I was thinking about this program and us talking about miracles, and what actually keeps you from getting them or blocks you from them, I think there are 3 different areas. One is karma, of course, and you could have a karmic situation going on, so the miracle you're asking for just can't manifest till that karma is overcome or paid back or paid to. All karma is not negative. Some of it's very positive, but you still have to wait if you're waiting to get paid. You can also have mental blocks, which is really probably the biggest one, where we don't feel we're worthy. We don't feel we have a right to receive anything. We don't feel we should be better than our parents or our friends. We don't feel like we should receive some greater reward than someone else. And as a result of that, we block our ability to receive. And then I think the 3rd area is where we really have something to learn. There's some major learning situation going on. And until we get to that point of learning it, we are not ready to receive the miracle we want. And I think if you look at the miracles in your life or the ones that haven't happened, you're going to find that in some way this is aligned.
So my next question was going to be, how do we qualify for a miracle? But I think you just explained it.
I think you qualify as soon as you say, I really need help here. I expect help here. Thank you very much.
You just said something very important. I expect.
Mm-hmm. I do expect. You know, I'll be doing something on the computer and frustrated because there's no way I can get it. And then all of a sudden I'll just stop and I'll say, okay, angels, do it. And, you know, 2 seconds later it's done and I haven't got a clue how it happened. All I know is it's done.
You look up at the and you go, who wrote that?
And it does happen that way. There's no question it happens that way.
That's happened to me. I can't tell you how many times I'll be doing something like writing or trying to put a newsletter or something together and I get frustrated, walk away from it, come back and do it. Get up again and get back to the computer and go, okay, did I do that? That said really nicely. I couldn't have done that. Yeah.
And it is kind of amazing how those things happen. It looks really amazing when you step back. But it's available to everybody. And, you know, everybody has it, whether they realize it or not. Sometimes you'll think of something as being a miracle, and is it really? Miracles, of course, are our perception. Anything that we think is extraordinarily out of the ordinary must be a miracle. But, for example, you could be thinking about someone that you love who you haven't seen for a long, long time. And when you're doing that, you're actually asking them to connect. And on the inner planes, of course, there is no distance. There is no separation. So when you're asking for that, if that person is open and willing, they will respond. And so the phone rings and you find yourself talking to the person you've been wondering, where are they? And here they are on the phone with you. We always have the ability to call to us whomever we wish to connect with. And there's no limitation in that area. The only limitation is our mind. For example, you may want to connect. Let's say you decided you were going to start making violins. You might want to connect with Stradivarius. Well, obviously he's not on the planet. But you have the ability to connect with that state of consciousness or that being. And when you put your attention on them, that energy flows. And therefore, you're able to carry forward, as long as you're free of ego, carry forward whatever that consciousness is. Always a way to create miracles in your own life if you don't know what direction to take, where you're lost and you're going, I'm not sure, I could do this or I could do that, and you go back and forth, and it's very frustrating. You can call in the consciousness of someone who you feel would be able to work through that and pick exactly the right thing. Maybe you'll call in someone who is very logical or maybe someone who's very blessed. It doesn't matter. You have the ability to have the answer if you ask. And so that can also feel like a miracle where all of a sudden you go, well, no, I know this is the right thing for me.
We had class last night, and the daughter of our hostess was taking a French final today, and it's a very difficult class for her. And I told her while we were in class, I said, then you need to look back at some of the French teachers that, or the French subjects that your teacher has shared with you, or maybe somebody you've read, because it's a literature course.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and you need to call them in with you and call them in your dreams tonight and ask them to go to class with you tomorrow. She looked at me like I was crazy. I said, think about it.
Well, you know, if she did it, she would find that you're not.
I'm going to call her later and ask how she did, or at least ask her mom how she did.
Yeah, I always say to individuals who might look at me like, I think you're off your game there. And I'll always say, you know, it doesn't hurt you to try. Give it a try. Or better yet, let me give you an example right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I could put something in front of the individual where they would not know what the answer is or how to react or how to respond, and then ask them to immediately call in some being who would be perfect for it, and let them see for themselves what they feel and what they find. The key, of course, is to get the ego out of the way.
Ooh, that's important. Say that again.
You have to get the ego out of the way. You can't say, oh, wow, this is me. I'm in control. Or you can't say, well, let's see what can be done here, you know, and you're using your mind and your ego. Instead, what you say is, I trust that this being of the highest nature, whether it be a doctor or a spiritual master, will guide me and direct me, and I will be the vehicle in this moment to carry that information or that message or that knowledge or to integrate it.
You're familiar with The Secret, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So much of what, or some of what we're talking about tonight would fit into that book. And for folks out there that have not read The Secret, I suggest that you do. And, of course, there are follow-up books like Why The Secret Doesn't Work For You.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of it has to do with trust.
Absolutely. You know, it has to do with trust, and it also has to do with blocks that we've set in motion. You know, you can say for the next 5 years, I want to be a millionaire, I'm going to be a millionaire, I plan to be a millionaire. But if there's a part of you that says, as a result of your childhood or your past lifetimes that says millionaires are just horrible people. Millionaires destroy, the environment, or they take from people or whatever. If you have those kind of things inside your cellular level, there's no way in the world you can become a millionaire. So you would have to release all of that information first, and you'd have to bless it. And the best way to release anything is to really bless it and embrace it, not to fight it. When you fight with something, you empower it. When you bless it and embrace it, it disappears. So you have to find that space of balance. Where are you in a situation? You may ask and ask, and you're not getting anywhere. Then you have to stop and step back and say, why is this not working? Because things do work. Manifestation is a very clear process. You make it happen every single day of your life in every instant. The things that happen in your world really are a manifestation as a result of your higher self, your karmic heritage, and your thought process in the physical world. So when you understand those combinations, you can manifest whatever you want.
You need to write the book.
Yeah, most people blindly go forward manifesting, and they manifest what they don't want because they've been programmed to manifest what they don't want.
You know, I've read a lot of manifestation books, and I've never read it that direct. I've never read a comment that put it that way. Kind of go around in circles.
Mm-hmm.
You need to write the book.
Oh, I know. I have a lot of them. I have 7 manuscripts here. One day we'll get to them.
Mm-hmm. Is manifestation one of them?
This one, Secrets of Wisdom, is actually helps you understand the art of manifestation a different way. It's not really talking about manifestation. It's talking about how you walk your walk in life to be all that you can and to have all that you desire. So, yes, it is manifestation, but it doesn't come at it from, okay, you want to be a millionaire, here, let me show you to take this step, and this step. It doesn't come from that point of view. What it comes from is the direction of, first you have to understand that in order to consciously make things happen in your life, we all do it unconsciously, but to consciously make things happen in your life, first you have to come to center. You have to center yourself to recognize who you are. When you understand that you are a limitless spark of God, eternally conscious, then you center yourself. You realize there is a connection to the universe, there is a connection to creation, that you are limitless, that you cannot be harmed, that there is absolutely nothing to fear, and you can manifest anything that you desire as long as you do not try to control another.
And that falls under those miracles, because there are times when we're trying to manifest something that is truly a miracle,
mm-hmm.
if it's within our karmic boundaries. Yes. I think that's important to repeat, because there are certain things that no matter what, we're not going to get it, or we are going to get it because it's karmically correct. And
right.
Of course, again, I'm sorry for those folks out there that don't believe in karma, but, you know, even a lot of cultures say it. What goes around comes around. It's the same.
It's in the Bible. Karma is in the Bible. It's just not worded as the word karma. Karma is an Eastern word, so some folks kind of back away and say, well, what is that? That's not anything in our language. But in the Bible it says, what you reap, so shall you, what you sow, so shall you reap. So,
there it is.
And it's right there in the Bible. It's the same thing. That is what we're talking about. What you put out shall return to you 100-fold. So if you put out love and you put out kindness and you put out an uplifting heart with a smile, you will see that return to you. It will come to you. No matter what anyone else sees, it will come to you. You know, years ago, I worked in an office, and this is so long ago. I was in high school. I'd just gotten out of high school. And I was put into an office with a woman who everyone hated. They couldn't stand this woman. She was mean. Everyone said, oh, I'm so sorry you're going to be working with that mean woman. And I just looked at them and thought, okay, if you say so, that's your perspective. It's not mine. And I always just smiled. I poured love on her. I blessed her constantly. And I just felt that whatever it was that was causing her to be the way she is, I would not uphold it. I would not repeat it. I would not increase it. But rather, I would pray that it would release and she would find a way to smile. And it didn't take very long. I don't think it took 3 weeks, and this woman changed completely, completely. And I didn't do anything. I just simply befriended her. I did not treat her the way everyone else did.
Well,
I refused to come from that point of view. Your perception is your choice. It's not anybody else's. Are you going to take on someone else's perception without even considering the possibilities? It's not wise.
That's
you true. Should always stop and consider, who am I, and what is it that I want to achieve in this life? When I used to teach a class years ago, Success for Women, I always started the class by having everyone write their obituary. And they would always frown, and they would learn that you don't ever get anywhere till you plan to go. You have to set a goal for yourself to achieve it. If you can look at the end of your life and say, this is what I want people to say about me, this is the legacy I want to leave behind, if you lay that out, you'll achieve that. I guarantee you'll achieve it. It's very important for you to know where you're headed. You wouldn't cross the United States without at least a roadmap.
I like
well,
that.
Well, I would think.
Yeah. That's why you have 7 manuscripts. Those are
I guess
your
I've crossed
goals.
Quite a few times, actually.
Do we always know when a miracle happens? I mean, short of the dramatic ones, like my friend whose door opened for her underwater.
Right, right. You know, I'm not always certain about that. I think we have small miracles all day long that most people probably never really aware that that's happened for them. You know, sometimes we are really aware, but the dramatic ones you can't miss.
That's true.
But all day long you have little miracles, and, you know, we really are good manifestors, and our manifestation process creates those miracles.
What is it about the negative energy? It seems like we can manifest negativity quicker than we can positivity. I wonder what in the world that is. Well, negative energy is a very strong energy, but then so is positive. But
well, I think what it is that it's easy in the lower world to pull on what is being passed around. We live in a society where thought forms are constantly passing through the air. Many of them are controlling thought forms. Advertising is a controlling thought form. And it's constantly moving through the air around you. It's being passed through radio waves and television waves and satellite information and web waves. There's all forms of advertising that's constantly moving through the air, not to mention people with negative energies. And so if you move in a negative direction, you'll find that it's very easy to do it. It's like falling down a hole. It's easy to fall in a well if you just step a little further. But if there's somebody behind you or there's beings around you who are attempting to push you in the hole, it makes it that much easier. So what direction you go has to do with how strong your state of center is. When you absolutely know who you are, no one can budge you. No one. You could stand on the edge of the hole forever, and no one could get you in it. Having clear thinking is so important. A lot of young people are raised by parents who don't have the clear thinking. As a result of that, unless they work at it, they don't have clear thinking, and that gets passed on. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by clear thinking? I'll give you an example. Just recently, I'm on a number of different boards, and this particular board, there was a member who took some action that she shouldn't have taken. But if you sat down with her, she'd say, oh, well, I'm just going to tell them this. Instead of telling the truth, it was easier for her to make a little story. And no one who was there called her on it. Later, when I heard about it, I said, why? Why would you ever do that? You know, why would you ever make up a story instead of just tell the truth? And she said, well, you don't want to hurt anybody. And I said, there's always a way to tell the truth without hurting anyone. You know, an example of how simple that can be, you can have your mom get stressed and it's Christmas time and everybody's coming over and she puts on this, and you're going to say, oh my God, what are you wearing, Mom? Well, if you say you look disastrous in that, you're going to hurt her feelings terribly. Instead, you could just look at her in a very loving manner and say, Mom, I would just love it if you would wear this outfit. You look so beautiful in it. What mom could resist that?
It would be hard.
So, you know, there is always a way to say what you need to say without ever hurting a person. And you should never, ever, if you are standing in integrity, there is never a reason to lie. There's never a reason to lie.
I like what you just said, standing in integrity.
Yeah, well, you know, I live my life by, you know, if I go to sleep at night, I want to know that I have no reason not to sleep. I want to be able to just lay down and know, if I get out of the body and leave tonight, I've done everything I could do from the most positive point that I was capable of.
Clear conscience.
Exactly. And,
no,
you know, I
put
don't...
put all kinds of tags on it.
But, you know, when you grow up with a parent who easily makes up stories, for example, it could be a child is on the phone and the phone flashes over to a phone call for their parent and they say, well, hold on a second, and they say to their dad, well, so-and-so is on the other line. And the father says, well, just tell him I'm not home. Well, if the child does that, what if they learned? What have they just been trained to do? They've been trained to lie. And later when that child lies to their father saying, oh, no, I was home on time, the father can't understand, where did it come from? Why would my child lie? You train them to.
And without even thinking.
Of course not. That's the whole point. People don't think about it. That's what I mean by clear thinking. You have to be aware of what you're doing. You have to be aware when you're telling a lie. Just because it's like we have morality codes in this society, and the morality code says, well, as long as I don't lie to my mother, I'm okay, or as long as I don't lie to my husband, I'm okay, or as long as the lie that I tell doesn't really hurt anybody, I'm okay. You know, where's your morality code? Well, you know what? I think if you want to achieve all the miracles that you can possibly achieve in a lifetime, your morality code has to be in alignment with the Creator. And there are no space in there. There is no space in there for fib of any kind.
That is a really tight rope for probably 99.9% of the people in the world to walk.
It's only a tight rope because they don't believe they can. If you take the time, instead of jumping in with your mouth, your voice, and your tongue, if you take a deep breath and ask for guidance, you will find words coming out of your mouth that you go, wow, I was completely honest, and I didn't end up having an experience I didn't want. People lie out of fear.
Yes.
When you are centered and know who you are, there is nothing to fear. Coming
living
from that state
life.
Of strength, you have no reason to tell a lie.
This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland and Michelle Avante tonight. The numbers that you can call in to join us, worldwide, 877-489-6350. United States and Canada, that shared number is 1-888-228-4494. We're talking about miracles tonight and why don't miracles work for everyone, or why do they work for everybody who asks for them? So we've talked a little bit about karma and self-worth and getting out of our own way. Boy, I need to practice what I preach when I use that term, getting out of my own way.
not always easy for anyone.
That's that ego word you were using a while ago, thinking that we can do it all on our own. Do you think that we are changed once we have experienced a miracle, whether we realize it's been a miracle or not? You know, a miracle to me could be the guy who has really good brakes.
And we have miracles happen all the time that we don't even know have happened.
Yeah.
I think that all the time. Whenever I'm running late for something, I always say, well, obviously, this is a miracle. Spirit has arranged for me to be late because it allowed me to avoid something that I didn't need to experience.
Yes.
And I always know the other person will be late as well because that is the way Spirit works in my world.
It's amazing how Spirit takes care of us if we'll just let them.
Yeah. It definitely does. There's no question. I mean, I'm absolute living proof of that. You can't get more than I am.
I know I've had some experiences, too, especially when I was a teenager, that just there's no reason in the world why I should be alive and well today.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am.
Yeah. You know, it can be. I was driving down the highway just it's probably 4 days ago now, and this great big kind of one of those flatbed trucks with the rails on the side. A lot of people who do landscaping use those big trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And this man, he was behind a big tractor trailer truck, and he pulled in front of me. I was in the left lane because I was going a long distance, and he went around the big truck, and I was behind him. And as he pulled over to the right to get back in front of this big truck, his back left wheel came undone, and it spun up across the highway. And I thought, oh, my God, look at that. And how it didn't hit my car, that's a miracle, complete miracle. Pieces of that should have smacked my car. And yet that light that I keep around my car, nothing touched it.
It's probably like some hand just pushed it away.
Mm-hmm. I just stood there in awe thinking, oh, look at that. That's incredible.
Mm. I have another friend whose son, they were in California vacationing, and he got they were at a beach area, but there was a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a straight shot down.
Oh, wow.
And being the 7-year-old, full of curiosity that he was, he got too close.
Oh, wow.
Well, there was sand underneath him, but it was like, a 15 or 20-foot drop.
Wow.
And he just went flat. It just crumbled out from under his feet, and boom, down he went. Landed on his back, but he told his mom later that he fell fast and then something slowed him down.
Yeah.
He didn't even have the wind knocked out of him.
Well.
Now, that's a miracle.
No question about it. That's spirit taking care of that child.
He landed on his back. He should have been knocked out, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Rolled over and got up and shouted that he was okay.
And so what do you think Spirit was trying to teach this child, this mother?
Not to be so careless.
I think, too, that there's a lesson in there that says you are protected.
Yes.
And the mother realized that her child was protected.
He said it felt like somebody, he just fell on something and it slowed him down.
Mm-hmm.
I just have this angelic hand, you know,
right.
going under him. Oh, yeah. This happened.
He'll carry that forward throughout his whole life.
Yes.
At some point, who knows where it will be needed. But there's going to be some point in his life later on where it will take a lot of courage to go into some space. And he will have the courage because he'll know that protection exists for him. He'll have courage that others don't have.
And I always think about that. That's not the first case I'd heard about things like that, and I always worry a little bit on the negative side that, yes, they've got protection, but number one, was that the only time they're going to get it? Are they going to go stepping off cliffs the rest of their life and test the mettle of protection, or will it teach them to also be someone else's protector?
Well, I think it's more that they'll have the courage to be the protector of someone else, because you have to know that that child was terrified when that ground
out
from under him.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he saw that he was protected, he felt a state of trust with something that he could not see. And that's why I don't think he would ever go forward to plunge and test it. That's not, I don't think that's the kind of response a child would have.
I had the sense that he felt, when he was talking about it later as a teenager, that he felt privileged.
Yes. Yeah, there is a sense of privilege in that.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and hopefully he doesn't
let it
become an ego thing, though.
Yeah. I think that answers another question, if I didn't verbalize it. Are we changed once we are saved, once we have had a miracle?
I think most people are. I think miracles leave an imprint that binds you closer to the trust you should have with your higher self or with the spiritual world. So I think, yes, people are. You know, I don't think anybody comes out of a car accident where they can see how they could have died and doesn't walk away a different person. They will. There's no way you couldn't. And there's so many other kinds of miracles that go somewhat unnoticed, but sometimes I think the spiritual beings build them over a period of time. So at some point you will look back and go, geez, that doesn't happen for everyone. I have something here that other people don't have. And so I think that over a period of time there's a learning curve that can come with little miracles. I think there is learning that comes with all of them, however. I think we learn something. If nothing else, we learn that there's more to the universe than just the physical world. I know years ago I was driving a car and on the highway. Well, better than that, here's a story. My brother was in Germany driving on the highway with his girlfriend. She was sleeping. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. He was up in the mountains, and there was fog everywhere, and he was driving rather quickly in the fog. And all of a sudden, he felt, I think I should pull over and stop. He couldn't even see the road, and he was driving. When he pulled over, he stopped the car. He had the headlights on. He went to the front of the car to see what the road looked like, and he was 3 feet from the edge of a mountain.
Oh, my goodness.
There was no road. He was not driving on the road at that point. He had been off the road and didn't know it.
Oh, my goodness.
He said he got in the car, didn't tell anything to his girlfriend who was sleeping, and they slept till the next morning.
I would hope so. Daylight, at least.
It's very interesting. You know, you have protection. You do have to listen. He did listen. Something said, just pull over. Stop. Check the road. If he'd gone a little bit further, they would have driven off a mountain.
Mm-mm-mm. And you wonder, had that been somebody else in that car, would they have gotten that message because it was dangerous?
You don't know.
You don't know. When we're talking about miracles, is it my miracle or the circumstance miracle?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. You know, I think that every miracle is individual as the being. Why did he determine that he should continue driving in the fog at any rate of speed? You know, you want to crawl along and make sure you can see that little white line in the middle of the road or pull over because it's too dangerous to drive. But he was still rewarded for his lack of wisdom.
Saved to live another day to do good somewhere.
Yes. And, you know, if it had been someone else, I don't think there are too many people who do drive off the cliff. So, but there's all kinds of experiences in the world. I know I was driving one time, and my car went into a spin in the slush as a result of another vehicle. And there were cars in front of me, cars behind me, and I should have gone off the cliff. There was a cliff to my right, but my car went into a spin instead of going off the cliff. All the other cars disappeared, and my car came to a sliding halt on the left side of the road, which was safe. Mm-hmm. And there were tons of cars, but Spirit had them disappear. They were gone. There were no cars around me. When I got out of that car, there was nothing to be seen anywhere.
You know, I hear, and you do too, we hear tons of stories about people being saved or protected in some way. And even on a subconscious level, these people have gotten out of their own way to
yes.
help themselves. Somebody else might say, well, that wasn't a miracle. That's just what was supposed to happen. And that's where the line, there's a real thin line drawn, I think, between what was supposed to happen anyway and where a miracle happens. Most people look at miracles as interventions of some sort, like an angel's hand to push the car away from yours, you know, the car
right.
parts, I mean the truck parts away from yours, because I can just see it happening. It just looked like, yeah, or anything like that. And you wonder, which is it? Is it just what was supposed to happen in my lifetime? This was my gift of being saved? Or was it truly an angel or a miracle manifested in some other way?
I think both things are the same. I think both things are equal. I think a miracle and the fact that it's supposed to happen in your life, they're both true statements. A miracle is something that happens that is extraordinarily out of the ordinary. And you have arranged your life before you came in. So you were going to have times where there are things that happen that are truly out of the ordinary because they are a gift to you in the physical consciousness to allow you to awaken the inner consciousness. But I think that, yes, it's part of your life, part of the plan of your life, your overall plan. Are there any real accidents? There's a question that I honestly can't completely answer. I've asked that question many times, and Spirit tells me that this is a paradox. The answer to that is yes and no. Yes, they appear to be accidents. And yes, you can make a turn or take a turn in a direction that will be wrong for you at that moment. But on another level, it absolutely is not an accident because Spirit already sees with the 360-degree viewpoint. So there can never be an accident. So, you know, that's always a hard one to understand in the physical. So many of the paradoxes of the lower worlds are very difficult for most of us to understand. Can you really answer yes and no? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But for most people, they'll really wangle with that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because, you know, it just depends on where you're standing. Are you standing in that point of higher consciousness, or are you operating strictly right here in the physical? Operating from the physical, it certainly appears there are many accidents. And, you know, I can record information of people that I've worked with. They are phenomenons to me, amazing souls, unbelievable souls. The courage that it takes to experience some of the things I witness, it blows my mind. A soul with so much courage that they would allow themselves to be in a space or go through a lifetime that includes some of the most horrible experiences of humanity, and yet the result of what they do in this lifetime proves to be a way to save millions of people. I've witnessed an individual, for example, who came in and has gone through a very difficult lifetime, and at one point she was actually physically shot to death. She did come back into the physical body, and it took her several years to actually learn to speak and eat and walk and dress and do everything all over again. This soul, because of her experience, they created a law, a piece of legislation that would protect people from being stalked. That's a huge, huge, courageous soul that
yes.
would withstand so much trauma and chaos in their lives to bring that legislation into manifestation. I truly take awe when I look at some of the choices souls make in order to move the world, and they don't even see that they are doing that. They don't see the value of who they are. It amazes me. They are miracles. There are lots of souls like that on this planet who are miracles. I met a woman who had two little girls, and I couldn't stop crying when I just looked at this woman. She had two little girls who died in a car accident going to a school dance. A drunk driver killed both of her children. And because of those children, a law was passed. And an entire group of people came together and created a society that would protect other children from these kinds of experiences. You know, that to me is enormous. And I'm not just talking about the two children who died, those magnificent souls who said, I will do this. But the mother, oh my Lord, I don't think you could hurt a person any more deeply than to take away two of their children that way.
That's just like how Mothers Against Drunk Drivers got started.
So when you look at these things, the way I perceive them is these are miracles. These are miracles of these courageous individual souls who come in and say, we're going to do this. And you might say, no, Michelle, it was an accident. And I say, no, I don't believe that's true.
You know, in those cases, I don't believe it. They're making things better for humanity. They're making things better for this world.
It's just incredible to me. And
future generations.
And you can look around your world and you'll see many of these. They're all around you. Soul is magnificent in all its aspects. And I wish, if I could wish nothing more, I would wish that every soul on this planet, whatever type body they may be in, I wish that they will love themselves.
Would love themselves. That goes a long way, and it is so hard for people to find that balance without it getting totally out of hand, where their ego is just twice as big as a football stadium. You know, we've all known those people, and God love them, that their ego precedes them when they walk in the room. But if they have that much love and respect for themselves, that's great. We just need to tone it down a bit. But
I don't really think they have that. I think that's false. I think false love is an overdone thing. In all cases, it becomes overdone in some way. Real love doesn't take any drama. Real love is a very simple thing. It's being at peace with who you are. You can't miss that because it vibrates. It vibrates to everyone that person passes. Peace, a feeling of peace, a feeling of contentment, a feeling of knowing that you are truly who you are, and that's all that's important, just simply being and fulfilling what you come to do in each moment as it comes to pass, without rushing, without fear, without concern. When we trust completely, we know that is so, and it will be so.
I like that. Put that in the book.
You send me the recording. Oh, yes. Oh, my.
This is Elaine Ireland. You're going for Global for Spirit with me and with Michelle Avante. We've been talking about miracles and why don't miracles work for everyone. I think we can synopsis that with they have to believe in themselves.
Yeah.
And get out of their own way.
Yeah. Simply trust, yeah.
Trust, the trust.
Be open to receive and trust.
You know, I mentioned The Secret a while ago, but so much of what we've talked about fits into some of the reasons why The Secret doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody.
Yeah, there's a center of knowingness that takes place when we are making things happen. When I speak to the spiritual beings, when I'm in a zone where I feel I need something immediately, right now, not later, not 5 minutes from now, right now, It's very clear. It's a clear message. There's no part of me that's requesting. It's a clear message that says, I need it now. Please do it.
As we say with the grandkids, it's not a subject for discussion.
Exactly. And I do that with the spiritual beings, and they come through. They always come through. Your now and my now are not always within exact seconds, but...
Boy, is that true? Spirit plays games with time.
Well, I don't think they really understand time. They live in a zone where there is no time.
You know, we need this object or this thing immediately.
I remember quite a while back where I woke up one morning and my jaw wasn't attached properly. I don't know what I did in my sleep.
Uh-oh.
But I was in terrible, terrible pain, and I thought, well, you know what? This is not happening. You fix it, and you fix it now. And my husband's looking at me like, who is she talking to?
Uh-huh.
He says, do you need me to take you to the hospital? And I looked at him and I said, absolutely not. They will fix it. It will be fixed, and it will be fixed now. Well, it took them about 40 minutes, but they fixed it.
Wow.
That's the state of knowingness. There's no debate in my mind. There's no question in my mind. Will they do it? Maybe they'll do it. Maybe I should go to the hospital. There's no question whatsoever. It is clear statement. I know it will be done. It will be done now. And it is.
We need more positive thinkers like you.
We all need to know who we are. And when you know who you are, you will be a positive thinker. You can't help but be a positive thinker. Anytime you're in alignment with spirit, you will be a positive thinker, because all that is spirit is positive energy.
As human beings, though, we get so caught up, and I hate to overuse the word ego, but we do. We get so caught up with the human part of us that we forget how much spirit we are and how still in touch we can be. We call it spirit, call it God. I don't care
mm-hmm.
what you call it. It all goes to the same path.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we forget as human beings how much we are still that.
And that's why, you know, taking the time to practice that every day is what will get you there. You know, when you wake up each morning, wake up with a world of gratitude. Wake up with the thoughts of gratitude for being, for simply being, having the great honor to be here in a physical universe that created just so you could learn to be a creator. Have gratitude. When you do that, you align yourself with your greatest state. You align yourself with the Creator. And then a prayer, you know, whatever prayer. You know, there are so many prayers in every language on the planet that say the same thing. Simply say, you know, let me walk your walk this day. Let me be the vehicle for the light. Let me be your vehicle of light. You know, let my words be your words, my thoughts be your thoughts. My hands move as your hands and my feet move as your feet.
Put that in the book, too.
I believe I have that one in the book. That's in Secrets of Wisdom. You'll be amazed at how many prayers I've scoured together from across the universe that all say
it.
The same thing.
I love books like that. Years ago, I had a little bitty book. It was about 4 inches tall, if that, and maybe 3 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments in unimaginable languages.
Mm, how cool.
With little tiny, like 4 or 5 little lines explaining each one.
Oh, cool. How cool.
I carried that with me for probably 10 years in my purse, tucked away in a corner. They're going to whisper in my ear and tell me to get off the air in a minute. So I have to thank you for another wonderful evening. Thank you, Michelle, for sharing your wisdom with us, your knowledge.
It's
Where will you be
honor.
This weekend? What's happening? You're traveling, right?
Oh, yes. I'm going to a show. I'm doing the Roseburg Christmas Fair starting tomorrow on Friday, and I'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But Friday night I'll be in Grants Pass doing a book signing at a little bookstore called the Spark Bookstore, SPARC, on
Now, what state are we
Street.
Operating out of here?
Hmm?
What state?
I'm in Oregon.
Oregon.
I'm in Southern Oregon or Middle Oregon somewhere.
That all sounds interesting. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here in a couple of months. We haven't set a schedule, world, but we will. To go to continue to tick off her list of knowledge and wisdom to share with us.
It's an honor always. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great Christmas if we don't talk before then, but we probably will. And world out there, thank you for having been with us this evening. Have a great week, and don't forget to share a smile with someone. Good night, everybody. Good night, Michelle.
Night.